Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Respected ulama, very shortly or very briefly, I would like to introduce our honored guest, Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Adam Sahab Madrasatul Ali. Our association with him goes back to the day when we were in Deoband, where we studied together. But prior to that, Maulana first went to Nadwa. He started his studies there. And thereafter, he went to Lahore. And there, the Buzurgane Deen were all graduates of Darul Deoband, including Hazrat Maulana bin Nuri Rahmatullah Alayhi in Karachi, advised him that go to Deoband, your ilm, your benefit lies there. So then Maulana came over to Deoband and he completed his studies in Deoband. After coming back in the Cape, Maulana was to a very far extent responsible for bringing about an awakening among the Muslim masses. From masjid to masjid, Maulana would hold discourses, lessons, which the people benefited very much. But due to certain circumstances, he could not move forward with that program. Then Maulana in Stellenbosch, which was his hometown, started a series of talks on tape and over radio Islam, which is very well known. A lot of ulama, a lot of professionals, a lot of lay people have benefited from him. We are very thankful that today he has accepted our invitation to be present before us, in spite of not being so well as we had known him to be. But nevertheless, this is a great sacrifice on his part, and we should take full benefit from what Maulana has to say. I'll ask Maulana, Jazakumullah, for having accepted our invitation and the long and arduous journey which you have undertaken, though it may be a 2-hour flight, but for a cyclic person, it is very difficult, and may we benefit from your discourse. Jazakumullah.
Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد الحمد لله رب العالمين صدق الله العظيم. All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise, we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We express our iman, our belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the greatness, in the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the qudrat, in the power, omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, we send darud and salam upon the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With these words, we proceed with some of the important events of my life. I want to commence by thanking the Jamiatul Ulama for inviting me and calling me. I never thought I want to be very honest with you. I never thought after 50 years that this story would be revived, would be brought back to life. All that happened in the interim, from the beginning up to now, I never thought that the ulama in particular would like to hear about it. And it is strange, a wonderful experience for me in particular to be invited by the Jamiat to come and address all of you. I want to sincerely thank them for having invited me over and express my appreciation for this. What I have to tell you, you will find extremely strange, maybe also unacceptable, but it is the truth which I'm going to relate to you in a little while. Firstly, let me start right at the beginning. And the beginning goes like this. My grandfather came from India in the year 1882. And he arrived here. At that time, all used to go to Natal because they had to work on the cane fields in Natal. So he also came with that group, but somehow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what happened there. He could not find any kind of work or business or anything in Durban. That is where they arrived. Most of the Indians that came from India went to Durban. So he couldn't find any kind of work there. And the result was he had a dream. And in this vision or dream, he saw that he was an excellent horseman. So in this dream, he saw that he must get on his horse and he must go with this horse as far as the horse takes him, and where the horse settles down and sits down, that is where he must make his home and open up his business. So he went to Durban via Stanger all the way to Pietermaritzburg. Those of you who are from Natal will know, via Pietermaritzburg, the horse kept on going. And then it went into strange places which my grandfather found extremely strange. At that time, there were absolutely no Indian people there. And he went into a place called the Transkei. And in this Transkei, remember there's absolutely no Indians there. He went in and the horse went on a river bank and the horse sat down in this river bank. So my father and grandfather lay down there next to his horse and he fell asleep. After that, after an hour or two, he heard noises and he opened his eyes and he looked across the river and he saw about 12 or 15 people want to cross the river and come onto his side. So he's watching them and he sees them. The river is fairly swollen. So he sees after a while how these people cross the river. They go over the river and they cross the river and come onto his side. When they come onto his side, they look at this man with long hair. Now, they were Africans. And you know the Africans have short hair. So they look at this man with long hair and so on, and with this beautiful horse. It was a brown horse with a white mark on his forehead. Very beautiful. He loved horses, and he He had a very particular horse. So the Africans have great admiration for horses. So they came, and instead of touching him, they began to stroke the horse. And they stroked the horse, and then my grandfather opened his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, they stroked his hair, they looked at him, and then they carried him. And they carried him, because he was half asleep, they carried him to a kraal. Now, if you know what a kraal is, you will know what it is, like a hut. They took him in there, and they rested him on a pouch, on a bed, so to say. They laid him to rest there, and after a while, they brought food for him. Now, if you know the Africans, they make what they call putu and mas. Putu is meal, porridge, and mas is sawama. So they brought that to him. My grandfather looked at it and he said, no, this is halal. The meal, porridge is halal, no problem with that. And the mas, the sawama, is also halal. And he was very, very hungry because from Pietermaritzburg, he had traveled all the way to this area. The river is called the Amzumkulu River. It's a huge river, and the Amzumkulu River, and the area was called Amzumkulu. So that is where the horse had come to rest, and my grandfather then had the putu and the mas. He enjoyed it thoroughly. He ate to his full, and then, of course, he fell asleep, and he slept. No disturbance at all. This was a very, very remarkable thing. They left him alone. Nobody disturbed him, and the horse was there with him. Alhamdulillah, after a few hours when he woke up, then he wanted to have a shower and a bath and so on, a change and so on. So alhamdulillah, all that took place. If I'm elaborating, then follow through carefully because it's very, very important and very unique. There was not a single Indian family at that time in this place called Amzumkulu in the Transkei. Amzumkulu lies on the one side is Akopo, and on the other side is Harding. In Harding, there were about 50 Indian families. In Akopo, there were just over 50 families, Indian families. All of them were trading here. All of them had businesses there. So anyway, but in Amzumkulu, there was no Indian family at all whatsoever. Now, the fact that the horses come and sat down in Amzumkulu meant that, according to his dream, that he had to establish his home and his business in Amzumkulu. And he started with that. But there was one Jewish family in Amzumkulu, and that was called the Strachan family. They were from Germany, but they were Jews from Germany. And they had come over and established their business in Amzumkulu, and they were thriving, doing very, very well. And, my grandfather then wanted to establish his business, and he applied for a license. In those days, in the 1880s, you had to get a license from the UK. That was a conditions in those times. So he applied for a license via the court. You had to apply via the magistrate and the judges. So he went and he filled in the form applying for a license to trade. And the Strachan family opposed his application, as a result of which his license was rejected. They wouldn't grant it to him. Then what happened is, before my grandfather had come down to Amzumkulu, before then, He had gone and spent some time in the Sudan. And in Sudan, what happened there was that a person by the name of Mr. Burgerman had been there with my grandfather. They had become very good friends. And this Mr. Burgerman, what happened to him, there was fighting going on in Sudan at that time. It is in the early ages I'm talking about. And what happened then was my grandfather pushed Mr. Burgerman into a hole, into a ditch. He pushed him into a ditch, as a result of which all the firing that was going on did not touch Mr. Burgerman, because he had been pushed by my grandfather into the ditch. So his life was saved. And after a while, those people who were shooting, they went away. And my grandfather then went, lifted Mr. Burgerman out from the hole, and Mr. Burgerman then told my grandfather, "You, Mr. Adam, you have saved my life. I owe my life to you. Wherever you are going, I'm going to follow you." And that is how Mr. Burgerman came with my grandfather to Amzumkulu. And he came there, and when this license was refused, Allah works, strange how Allah works, and then Mr. Burgerman came to my grandfather and told him, "Mr. Adam, listen to me. I am prepared to obtain a license, and I will give the license over to you. On my name, the Strachan family will not oppose me, because I'm a poor man, and they will think, they will assume that I want to open up a small business, so they're not going to oppose my application." So Mr. Burgerman then went and applied for the license, and within 3 weeks, he was granted a license. And then he came, and he handed the license over to my grandfather, and he said that, "Here's your license. You can do whatever you want to with it. I owe my life to you. Yeah, here's his license." And he handed it over to my grandfather. And my grandfather then took that license and opened up a business in Namzukuru. Alhamdulillah, after all these years, the business is still there. My nephews are running it. But anyway, he started the business, and he used to go to Durban. Because he was very good with horses, he had 6 horses with a trailer behind. He used to go to Durban and buy clothing and other products in Durban by the merchants there and bring it over to Amzumkulu. And alhamdulillah, he started his business in clothing. And after that, he had advanced. My father, as he grew up, became a mechanic, and he opened up a garage in Namzumkulu as well, and for a petrol station and also repair works. So alhamdulillah, that is how the business. Then later, the farmers in the area were coming to buy clothing from our shop, from the business, my grandfather's shop. And then, of course, the farmers needed vehicles. They needed all types of implementation and so on for their farms. And they insisted, you see, what my grandfather had done, what he did, he used to give them on credit, all the farmers on credit, and when they sell their products, then they give the money, and then they just come and pay him. And so the relationship became a very warm and hearty one between the farmers and my grandfather. And that is when they asked him that, "Mr. Adam, we need tractors, and wherever we go, whether we go to Pietermaritzburg or we go to Durban, we have to pay cash." So please, that you know our condition, can you obtain tractors for us and other goods for the farm? And then we will also need vans, we need trucks. Can you obtain that as well? So we went into dirt. My grandfather went into all that. He started selling tractors, trucks, and so on to the farmers as well. And they used to bring the money and pay him. He used to get on credit in those days. And that is how the business prospered and started and grew into a very, very big business. I'm giving you this background in order for you to understand where I'm going to in a little while. Alhamdulillah, the business prospered, started off, and carried on. It was the only business in Amzumkulu that was Indian-owned. The Srakhan family did whatever they could in order to close him down, but they never succeeded. And the reason for that was that the farmers were with my grandfather, and they stopped buying from the Srakhan family. And maybe that is one of the reasons why the Srakhan family could not touch him or do anything to him. Anyway, that carried on, and alhamdulillah, the business was a very, very prosperous business. And farmers used to come and pay him, as I say, after they sold their products. Allah shukr, that is what happened there. Now, also, that was my grandfather came from India. The place where he came from in those days was called Karnataka, which later, many years later, became known as Mysore, which is in South India. So basically, Karnataka later became Mysore, and of course, he was from there. He originated from there. Very few people came to South Africa from the region of Karnataka. Now, if you know Kerala, not far from Kerala is Karnataka. And alhamdulillah, that is where he originated from. That is where he came from. Alhamdulillah, after that, after